We're looking at John chapter 14 this evening, and we're going to be looking at the continuing theme of the goodness of God, and we're going to be looking into the New Testament some. I don't know how much longer we'll go with this, but I have received in recent weeks just such encouragement from John chapter 14. Where the first verse says, and I think you probably all could quote it from memory, "Let not your heart be troubled. If ye believe in God, believe also in me. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me? Philip, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father?" I'm going to stop there this evening and think for just a few moments about the goodness of God in revealing His Son to us. And also, I want us to understand and know that as believers living in troublesome days, and I think we can certainly put that label upon the times in which we are living in, that our heart does not need to be troubled. This comes on the heels. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, not just to Peter, who he had just addressed in the previous chapter, because we find several plural words that are used here, ye and you, in our passage are plural. So he's moving from talking to Peter to talking to all of his disciples. He had just told Peter that Peter was going to deny him. And Peter didn't believe it. Peter basically said, I'm going to go with you. I will lay down my life for you. And the Lord said to him in verse 38, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times." That's a stunning, stunning statement to make. Our Lord knew all things. Our Lord was aware of what was going to take place that night, and He knew the fear that the disciples were going to face as troops would come and take their beloved Jesus away from them. He knew how they were going to respond to that. Even the writer John here would flee off into the darkness, we're told, naked, his outer coat falling off as he runs away, because they're not expecting what's about to take place. And yet our Lord says to them all, "Let not your heart be troubled." Now it would be troubled, would it not? As we're going to see in the following chapters. After chapter 17, we have the record of what happens in Gethsemane. And you're going to see the fear and the anxiety and the doubt and the wonder and all the mixed emotions that these disciples are going to face as their Lord is taken away and would soon be crucified. And then all the things would begin to connect. All the dots would be connected. Our Lord gives an encouraging word to disciples that really don't know their own hearts. And by the way, we don't either. It's easy to say, "I will stand with the Lord. I will always do that." But I'm going to tell you something. Our old heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And there have been good people that have denied the Lord. And Peter was one of them. But it was not a denial of hatred or a denial of he didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God, but rather it was a denial of all the things that were happening. He just didn't understand. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. As we live our lives on this earth, we don't always know what's going to happen, how things are going to shake out. I've told several people, when I was up in New York, had several conversations, the pastor up there and some of the other folks that were there, and we were talking about the future. And we don't know what's going to happen on November the 5th. We don't know what's going to happen on January the 21st of next year. We don't know what's going to happen tonight. And so that element of doubt always raises anxiety within our hearts, does it not? We would like to be able to predict that everything's going to be all right in the United States of America, but I just don't know. I know that where this earth is moving, I can see things happening that the Bible talks about, the last days, the times leading up to His rapture, and then the 7-year tribulation period, and then His coming back to earth and the victory that He has in the Valley of Armageddon and all those things that will happen. When? We don't know. But I do know this, that my heart does not need to be troubled. Now, what does that mean? Let not your heart be troubled. By the way, these are in imperative moods here. So we're looking at almost the command. Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord is being very strong here in the command form. Let not your heart be troubled. That word troubled there is a very interesting word. And it means to shake violently. All right? It's like when you're making your chocolate milk. All right, you got your Hershey syrup. And we got any chocolate milk fans in here? A few people? It's all right. You can put your hand up. We're not going to think ill of you if you like chocolate milk. But I remember as a kid, we used to have the powdered form. Rich folks had the syrup. We had the Nestle's powder form. Anybody remember the old cans that you used to buy down at the store? And you'd scoop it up, and you'd put it in there, and when Mom wasn't looking, put another one in there, because you liked that really thick thing on the bottom of the milk whenever you were all done, and just slurp that real thick black stuff that was in there. But we would mix it up. And a lot of times we would have containers with lids on. We'd shake it violently and then taste it. And then we would think, oh, we need a little more chocolate. And if Mom saw us, put that thing away. You don't need any more chocolate. You're sugared up enough. But to shake violently, to agitate, when you get your salad dressing, all right, your Italian salad dressing, it always, all the good stuff always sinks to the bottom. So you have to take it and you have to shake. Well, that's the word that's used there. It's used, remember the angel that would come and stir up the pool and the ill people would make their way? It's the same word that's used there, to agitate the waters. That's the picture. Let not your heart be shaken, stirred, agitated. If you believe in God, who we cannot see, believe also in me, who the disciples could see for a moment, but he's about to leave. And this is the point. He's preparing them for what's coming. They're not going to get it. They're not going to realize the preparation. But they will later on. What Jesus was doing all along was getting them ready for this time. And they were not ready. And whenever the whole violence took place in the garden, their heart was troubled. They ran. They didn't know what to do. Peter denied the Lord 3 times. I don't know who this man is. Well, we've seen you with him. I don't know who he is. That's that false narrative type thing. Yeah, so somebody obviously doesn't recognize me. Let me put on my fake mustache. You know, they all knew who he was, but he denied it. Now, why? He faced the same thing that you and I face just about every day of our lives. It's the fears. The fears of life. In this case, it was the fear of what was going to happen. Peter's going to take away from this conversation in chapter 13, after he just told the Lord that I'm not going to deny you, I'm going to go to the death with you. And Jesus tells him, hey, cock's going to crow and you'll have denied me 3 times before the night's out. Can you imagine being told that? The first thing we would do is what? Deny it. That's not going to happen with me. I know myself. Really?
Who can know the heart?
You know, who can know it? That's right. We can talk the big talk, but when it comes to reality, fears are real. Fears are real. I've been with people in elevators that lost it because they got claustrophobic. And they got in there and they got, I've had my arms grabbed before. And I said, whoa, you're all right. The door's about to open. Hang on. Try to settle them down. But that's a real fear. There are people that have those kind of fears. There are people that have fears of spiders. They have fears of this, that, and the other, and they're not fake fears, they're real. So, we have to take the Word of God, the presence of Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within, and we have to rely upon those things to stabilize our heart. That's our privilege. That's the picture that's given. Three things very quickly. As small as our planet is, you know, they have pictures online where you can look from the telescope. They got the Hubble telescope. There's another one that's up there. Takes pictures of the Earth and shows how tiny it is. I mean, that's pretty. When you realize how small we are in this universe, it's a wonder that we even get up in the morning, you know, with pride, you know, I'm going to take this out today, I'm going to do this today, whatever. We're just a little dot in the universe that God spoke into existence. This little planet that we're on, compared to the vast creation, there's a God who's personal. He takes us into His fold by His Son's work of redemption. And He makes us the object of His love. That's personal. That's real. But that personal relationship has an impact in my life. It changes how I can view the world. Do I hear an amen? It can change the way I view the world, knowing that I've got this great, big, powerful God. And I've got these circumstances on earth that's causing my heart to be troubled and agitated and shaken. I've got a God. I've got an advocate, the Holy Spirit of God, that comes alongside and is there to comfort. Says, be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Yes?
Makes me think of putting you on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Scripture says.
Yep. That you may be able to what? Stand. Yeah, that you'll be able to stand. God's given us all the equipment that we need to be able to stand. Number two, this personal God can quell my troubled heart in spite of not seeing Him. Now think about this. What's the first thing that we do if something happens to us? Pick up the phone and call somebody and tell them, hey, can you meet me at the hospital? Or can you go with me to the doctor's appointment? Now there's nothing wrong with that. We like to have help. You know, we want people around us to help us. That's natural. But what about the God that we can't see? He's just as real, even though I can't see Him. He's here right now with us all. I we sit here and try to picture God being here, but God is everywhere. He's not rushing around the universe trying to catch up with everything. He's everywhere. That's how big our God is. And so, I have help in one that I cannot see. And then thirdly, this personal God doesn't have to be seen. He just has to be believed. Now think about that for just a moment. How many times have I picked up the phone and called my dad? Especially whenever I was at college. I was only allowed to talk for 15 minutes every 2 weeks. So there'd be times that I would have to break that code of conduct. And I'd say, Dad, I said, I am really struggling with Greek class. And I called him. I said, Dad, I think I need to drop it. And he said, why? He said, you can do it. You just buckle down, get to work, and you'll be fine. I needed that. I didn't see Dad. I couldn't look at him through the phone in the hallway with other 50 people waiting to talk on the phone. Couldn't see him, but Dad gave me some words of advice. I didn't go to drop ad. I went back to Greek class, and the Lord allowed me to make an A. But it took a lot of hard work. I was ready to quit. But my dad's voice in my ear, hey, you don't need to quit. You get in there and you do what you need to do. That's what we need. That's what our Father does. I don't have to see Him. I just have to believe Him. That's pictured in John 14, 1. And when you go on beyond there, there's just more things you can just hang on to. Another thing you can hold on to. You ever been on those subways in Atlanta? In the airport? They've got all these things hanging from the ceiling. All right? And we were just there recently. And we piled in there, and I was carrying suitcases and all kinds of stuff. And then, zoom, we took off. And I started doing the thing, trying to catch on to something. And I grabbed a hold of that thing that was hanging from the thing, and I was able to stabilize myself. Well, that's the picture of the Lord. He's provided it already. I just got to take a hold of it. Take a hold of Him and know His presence. And let not my heart be troubled. Don't let it be agitated and shaken and upset. This, folks, is all part of the goodness of God. This is all part of the goodness of God toward us. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your word. What an encouragement it is. Lord, I'm so thankful that You were so concerned about Your disciples that You sought to prepare them for what was about to happen. They were going to have their lives shaken as their Lord is going to be taken away from them and crucified. Their world was turned upside down. They thought they would be arrested and executed. No doubt in my mind that that's what they were thinking. And yet, You were able to later calm their spirits on the shore of Galilee. You fixed them a fish dinner, and You encouraged even Peter, who had denied Him three times, and You, Lord, just told him, feed My sheep, feed My lambs. Do You love Me? That should be the focus of our hearts. We don't have to see. We just have to believe. Father, I pray that You'd encourage us in this regard in the goodness that You have given to us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.